Well, good morning, fellowship. Man, I want to say good morning to Benton and to Cabot, who are with us today all together. And man, just so great to be together as a church family. I was actually in Benton last week preaching, and man, God did some powerful things there on that campus. And I'm so thankful just to be a part of this church called Fellowship. One church, multiple locations. And here we are together here on the Little Rock campus this morning, and Benton and Cabot all together today. And I want to encourage you to take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you may not even have to go there because you know the verses that we're going to talk about today. Proverbs chapter 3. It's a great verse for kids and for adults. It's probably easier to memorize for kids, tougher to live out for adults, right? And so we're going to, yes. It's going to get good up in here today. And so I just am so thankful for how God wants to speak to us through this passage that he has been speaking to me through over the last few weeks. It actually kind of boiled up in me when I was actually serving in FSK a couple of weeks ago. I actually had a Sunday where I wasn't preaching, I wasn't service pastoring, I didn't have any responsibilities, so to speak, and I went and served in FSK here on our Little Rock campus. And as I was serving in FSK, I was in the worship time and we were singing the song, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight," right? That's how we sing it in FSK. And it began to kind of just sit with me a little bit as I was thinking about this Sunday being all together and having kids together and thinking about the idea of trust. You know, someone's made this statement to you before, or you've made the statement to somebody, "Trust me, I know what I'm doing," right? Hey, just trust me, I know what I'm doing. Trust me, it's going to be great. Trust me, it's going to be okay. Trust me, everything's going to be fine. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. I have a brother that's 4 years older than me, and when we were growing up, he was my idol. I mean, I shouldn't even say that, but he was. Man, I love my brother. He was just so great. I mean, I still do, but I love my brother back in those days, and he was a great athlete, and the girls liked him, and the guys thought he was cool, and he just, I mean, all this stuff going for him, and I mean, I would do anything he wanted me to do, and I just you know, wanted to be around him, and he certainly took advantage of that pretty much all my life, and so I love that. But I remember one day we were living in Fort Worth, Texas, and my dad was in seminary, and we were out in this field next to us, and we were playing together that day, and we had our, you know, brand new Wilson football, and we were out tossing it around, and I think I was probably about 8 years old at the time, so he's roughly 12, something like that, and we're playing, you know, and he's making me go out for long passes, and I'm having a great time. He's making me go a little bit further. I'm like, I'm about to get in the street. He's like, it's no big deal. And so I'm out there, and he's throwing them to me, you know, and I'm catching them, and all of a sudden, he says, "Hey, listen, this is getting kind of old. Let's do something different." And I said, "Okay, what do you want to do?" He said, "Listen, I got a great idea. Trust me. This is going to be great." I said, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kick the football and you try to block it." I was like, I don't know, man. He's like, "Yeah, trust me. It's going to be great. It's going to be great." And so I was like, I don't know. He goes, yeah, it's going to be great. So you just get back there and you get kind of down in your little stance. When I say down, you kind of put your elbows right here. When I say set, take your three fingers and put them on the ground. And when I say hut, you just try to run at me and you try to block it. I'll try to kick the ball. You try to block it. It's going to be great. Trust me. It's going to be great. I know what I'm doing." I'm like, okay. So I go back, you know. He's like, "Down." I'm like, "Here we go." Like, "Set." I'm like, "Here we go." Hut. I just take off. I just run as hard as I can, you know. And I get to the point, my brother's kind of stepping back. He's starting to step back in. And right at the point where he's about to kick it, I just dive, give it everything I've got. Like, I look like a frog. I had arms out here, legs out here, you know. And I just want you to know that once you kind of get there, you can't take that back, okay? Like, it's not like just kidding. Like, you're out there, right? And as I'm at the height of my jump, my brother's got this big old smirk on his face, like, "Trust me, I know what I'm doing." Like, it's like a big old smirk. I'm at the height of my jump. He just lets it fly, man. Next thing I know, I'm laying on the ground. I'm breathing like this. That's kind of what you sound like when you can't breathe very well. I have Wilson imprinted on my chest. I mean, it's like that tears my eyes, you know. I get up, and I'm trying to talk in that can't breathe, crying state. I'm like, I'm trying to talk to him. I'm like, "I'm going to go tell mom." He's like, "Oh, no. And then he goes, "Man, listen, you are so tough." And he goes, "Trust me, let's do it again." I did it again. Second time resulted in a bloody nose. I said, "I'm not trusting you anymore." Listen, you got to be careful who you trust, right? Did you hear that phrase, "Trust me, I know what I'm doing"? And yet we come to this Bible verse that many of you have quoted and learned for years, and our kids are singing it now in FSK. And this verse, these two verses, let me tell you what they shout It's God shouting to us, trust me, I know what I'm doing. For all the kids in the room today, let me tell you something. One of the greatest things you'll ever learn is to trust in God with all your heart. And for all the adults in the room, I'll tell you one of the greatest things you'll ever learn is to trust in God with all your heart. And this morning, we come to this verse that is so crucial. It's so critical. It's so important for all of life. You cannot miss this. When God says, trust me, I know what I'm doing, because he does. So let's look at this verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And let's just kind of, let's read it together this morning, because it's so short and it's so good, so powerful. Let's just read it together this morning. Here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I mean, that's pretty simple. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The Christian Standard Bible says it this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, watch this, it says this, in all your ways, know him. Yeah. In all your ways, not just acknowledge him, but in all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. And so this morning, we want to look into this verse and see what God has to say to us. I'm always telling students, I'm always telling kids, listen, it's one thing to read your Bible. It's another thing to let your Bible read you. You know what I'm saying? To kind of pick out your life and to recognize what do you really trust in. And so I've got two questions that I want to answer this morning. And the first one is this. You can see that in your bulletin, your notes. What makes the difference in your life? Okay, what makes the difference in your life? So as kids, adults, anywhere in between, what makes the difference in your life? Well, what makes the difference is this. Who you trust. That makes the difference. A big difference in your life is who you trust. Who are you really going to trust? Now, we're doing this on all campuses today, but I'm going to invite Matt Morgan to come on up to the stage with me. Matt's our FSK pastor. You guys give Matt a hand. Love this guy. Come on up, Matt. We got a volunteer here on the Little Rock campus, Reagan McCartney, her dad. In case you didn't know, he leads the worship in the chapel. And so Reagan's up here with us. Reagan, thank you for joining us. I want you to climb on up here, okay? Climb on up here. And I got some volunteers that are here with me. And I think all the teams in Benton and Cabot are getting their people in place right now. But we're going to go old school today, and we're going to do an old-fashioned trust fall, right? You guys remember that? Yeah? You guys remember that? If you never went to a camp that didn't do that, you haven't lived. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three here in just a moment, and our kids on Cabot, Benton, and here in Little Rock are going to fall, and we're going to catch them, okay? All right? Reagan, you good?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, listen, we got you. These guys are strong. I trust these guys. But you remember the idea of trusting. And so what we're going to ask them to do is we're going to ask them to fall and just trust that we are going to catch them, okay? All right, so we're all going to count. I'm going to count to three, and on Benton Cabot, they're going to fall, and Reagan's going to fall, and we're going to catch them. I'm going to face everybody, okay? Pat, you ready? Okay, all right. All right, Reagan, I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, I'm going to say one, two, three, and I'm going to say go, okay? And when I say go, you fall. We got you. We have you, okay? I trust this, okay? Just trust me. I know what I'm doing, okay? All right, here we go. All right, so on the campuses here in Little Rock, you guys can even help me count it out as the audience, okay? We have one, two, three, and then I'm going to say go, okay? Ready? One. Two, three, go. Yeah, all right. Y'all give Reagan a round of applause, big round of applause. Thank you, guys. Whew, I'm so glad that worked. And that makes the illustration so much better. And now we're going to bring up Mark. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Some of you guys are like, well, come on. Yes, of course you can catch kids. That's easy. We know you can do that. Good, point taken, right? Amen. You don't think the one who caused the sun to get up this morning can't catch you? You don't think the one who is going to tell the sun when to set tonight that he can't catch you? You know, what's interesting about who you trust, it's interesting that in this little exercise, it's people falling backwards. But we're going to do a little Hebrew lesson today. When the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do you know what the word trust really means? Like one of the meanings in Hebrew, do you know what it really means? I'm going to show you what it means. I even told the camera guys to get ready, okay? I'm going to show you what the Hebrew, the visible meaning of what the Hebrew word trust means. Here's what it means right here. Helplessly lying face down on the ground. Helplessly lying face down on the ground. Would it bother you if I preach my message from here? Do you see the visual of that? Let me tell you something. We need more of that posture in our lives as believers. When you come home and you've gotten the raise of your life, face down, lying on the ground, trusting you with all my heart. When you're having struggles with your spouse, when you're having struggles with your kids, when life is hard, when difficult situations get thrown at you, the first position we should be in is down on the ground, face down, lying helplessly on the ground, saying, I trust in you with all my heart. This is what it's talking about when it says that we need to trust. We need to trust. So what makes the difference in your life is who you trust. And in this passage, it tells you who to trust and who not to trust. And the first one, it says who to trust. And it's this, in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's who you're supposed to trust in. Trust in the Lord. We can even talk about the Trinity. We can talk about God the Father. We can talk about God the Son, Jesus Christ. We can talk about God the Holy Spirit. We need to trust in God. We trust in the Lord. We trust in who He is. Why? Because His promises are true. His promises are true. His ways are right. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my thoughts. Because He laid the foundation of the world, right? For those of you who know the book of Job, and Job is talking and he's speaking, and the Lord says back to Job, hey, Job, by the way, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's why we trust in the Lord, because He laid the foundations of the world. Because His steadfast love never ceases. His love never fails. He never changes. He will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why we trust in the Lord. This is who He is. And we could go on and on. The scriptures are full of characteristics of who God is. How much He loves us. Listen to what Romans 10 says. This isn't on the screen, but Romans 10:11 says it this way. Everyone who believes, everyone who trusts in Jesus will not be put to shame, will not be disgraced, will not be disappointed. Several different versions of the scripture say this. Whoever puts their trust in Jesus, who believes in Jesus, will not be put to shame, not be disgraced, not be disappointed. It goes on to say this in Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 84, 12 says it this way, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I'll give you a little homework assignment for the summer. All you kids, adults, let me tell you, it'll be a great exercise for you to search the scriptures and find all the verses or a lot of the verses that talk about trusting in God. Put them on your fridge. Put them on your bedroom mirrors. Put them up around your house. Find verses in the Bible that talk about trusting in God. That talk about trusting in Jesus, trusting in the Lord. Find these verses that talk about that, highlight them and memorize them. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I tell my kids to go read Proverbs chapter 3. Sometimes it's gracious. It's like, man, it's so rich. Go read Proverbs 3. Other times it's like, you need to go read Proverbs 3 right now. Like, you need to go read that. Get some wisdom right now. It's probably not a good form of parenting, but it's good material. It's good material. Proverbs 3, this idea of trusting in the Lord. So we got to realize that only God can save us, and only God can lead us, and only God is worthy of trusting. So He tells us who trust, and then He tells us who not to trust. You know what's coming, don't you? He says, lean not on what? your own understanding. What the scripture is saying is, don't trust that person in the mirror. Don't lean on your own understanding. Man, if I've heard every interview of celebrities, sports stars, I mean, all this kind of stuff, you hear these interviews and they're just like, man, I just got to believe in me. I got to trust in me. I got to reach deep down inside and believe in me. Now listen, the Bible certainly talks about self-confidence. It talks about how we need to have a right standing and have a good self-esteem and those kinds of things. I'm not downing that. It's not even telling us to check our brains at the door, okay? So when it says don't lean on your own understanding, it's not advocating for Christians not to be intellectual. It's not advocating for you to check your brain at the door and say, you know what? I just go by blind faith, and so I don't really have to study. I don't really have to know the word. I don't really have to know. That's not what this is teaching at all. So don't walk away kind of going, oh, okay, well, but, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, well, then you really just don't use your brain. That's not true either. What it's saying, though, is don't rely on your own understanding. Matter of fact, for many of us, okay, for some of us that are in the predicaments we're in today, your best thinking got you where you are right now. So scripture's saying, do not lean on your own understanding. Why? Because God's ways are higher than our ways. Our finite minds are just that, finite. We can't fully see the bigger picture. But God does. Do not lean on your own understanding. Right? For all the kids in here this morning, right? At the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, there is a story about two people that were created. The first man and first woman, who was it? Thank you very much. I was really nervous on that. Adam and Eve, right? Let me tell you something. Adam and Eve, when it all started, they were set in a garden, a beautiful garden, and God gave them one rule, and he said, listen, don't eat of the fruit that's on the tree in the middle of the garden, because if you eat it, you'll die. Don't do that. One rule. I think we'd all live by one rule, but apparently we can't. One rule. And Adam and Eve decide that they're going to rely on their own understanding. They decide that they know better than God. They decide that it's not going to hurt anything. They decide it's just one little piece of fruit. They decide that, you know what? Let's just go for it. They decide that a talking serpent is going to be wiser than God. They decide that they'll lean on their own understanding. And you know what? We've been paying for it ever since. That's why all of us are born into sin. That's why all of us are sinners by nature. Because Adam and Eve thought they could rely on their own understanding. Let me just tell you as succinctly as I can what the scriptures say about this. Look at Proverbs 28, 26. Look what it says. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. I'd love to break that verse down and make it simpler for you, but I can't. Look what it says. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. When you're relying on your own understanding to get through problems, when you're relying on your own understanding to get through the great times in your life, anytime you and I are relying on our own understanding, we are fools. The Bible says don't do that. Don't lean on your own understanding. Think about the situations in your life where you are tempted to lean on your own intellect, where you're tempted to lean on your own resources, when you're tempted to lean on your own understanding. And the Bible says, don't do it. Don't do it. God is whispering and sometimes shouting at us, trust me, I know what I'm doing. So we know that what makes the difference in our life is who we trust in the Lord, not our own understanding. But you know what? It's not just who you trust, it's how you trust. That's what makes a difference in your life, not just who you trust, but how you trust. Okay? You and I have to figure out how we trust in the Lord. How we trust in him. And there needs to be a diligent, consistent seeking and pursuing of God. I mean, last week on our campuses, we talked about this, about the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word in our lives. About how we need the power of the Spirit working in us. And we need the power of the Word, you know, consuming our hearts and our minds and coming out of us, and the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives. right? That's why we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And by the way, there's no law against those things. And so we need a diligent, consistent time of seeking and pursuing God. There's no substitute for that. Listen, you need to be searching the scriptures on your own. Regardless of what age you are, all the kids in the room, listen, it's not too early for you to begin to start searching the scriptures. As a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, we can give you some verses that you can read and you can begin to memorize. You can begin to put God's word in your heart. For all of us adults, there needs to be a consistent time in our life where we are soaking in the word of God. We're saturating in the scriptures. It needs to be near to us and dear to us, not just for knowledge's sake, but for heart's sake, that we're living that way. That's how you trust. And by the way, you need to be doing it individually and in community. That's why we say that a D group, a discipleship group here at Fellowship Bible Church, if you're not involved in a discipleship group, if you're not involved in a small group of community here at Fellowship, you're missing out. Because one of the ways that you trust in the Lord is by doing it with other people. One of the ways that we really grow in Christ and grow in our trust and increase in our trust in Him is by living our lives with other people. Other people who are relying on God, other people who are sometimes relying on their own understanding and sharing the pitfalls of things that they've done because of that, and we grow. We grow in Christ and we grow with one another. That's how you trust. But thankfully, in this verse, these two verses, it gives us some specifics about how you trust. First one is this: with all your heart. That's how you trust, with all your heart. Not with half your heart, not with a little bit of your heart, not when it's convenient for you, not when it's easy for you. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything that you have, with every fiber of your being. So when the days are great, you trust in Him with all your heart. You don't say, I've got this lick, man, I can do this. No, you get the raise, you get the promotion, you get married, you have the baby, things are going great in your life, you trust in Him with all your heart, all your heart. And in the days that stink, the days that feel so heavy that you don't even know if you're going to stop crying, and you lie helplessly face down on the ground, and you say, with all my heart, with all my heart. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 36. You guys know this. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and all your mind. That's the great and first commandment. And the second one's just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart. That's how you trust. Not with a portion, but with everything you have. And He goes on to say this, not just with all your heart, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Look at that, circle it, in all your ways. Listen, all means all. The Hebrew word for all is all. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. In all your ways, in every way, acknowledge Him. And that acknowledge is so much more than just acknowledge. It is an acknowledgement. It is a noticing. It is a recognizing of God. But it's not just acknowledging Him, it's knowing Him. Not knowing about Him, but knowing Him. Having a relationship with Him. Praying to Him. Seeking Him through the scriptures. It's an intimate relationship that we have with God. That we know Him. That's why some of us are missing it right now, even at Fellowship, because you know about God, but you don't really know God. It's not a personal relationship to you. It's just something you've done for years, maybe. It revolves around maybe going to church, but not growing up in Jesus. In all your ways, acknowledge, know Him. So when you're victorious, you acknowledge Him and you know Him. When you're defeated, you acknowledge Him and know Him. When you're happy, you acknowledge and know Him. When you're sad, you acknowledge Him and know Him. When you're lonely, when you're afraid, when you have plenty and when you are in need, when everything seems to be going right and when nothing seems to be going right. In all your ways. There are plenty of people at Fellowship that have plenty. And in your plenty, you need to acknowledge God in all your ways. There are plenty of you who are going through some hard tragedies. There are some of you that are going through some hardships in your life with yourself, with your spouse, with your kids, some things that are happening. And the Bible says in all your ways, you acknowledge Him. You bring it before God. You lay it before Him and you trust Him that He sees the bigger picture, that He can catch you. He can catch you. And not only catch you, but lead you. Listen to what it says in Hosea 6, 3. It says, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Let us press on to know the Lord. Here's what it says in Psalm 46:10. You know this. It's not on the screen, but it says this. Be still and what? Know that I am God. I'll be exalted in the heavens. I'll be exalted in all the earth. Psalm 56:3. I love this one. This was when I was growing up. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Man, how many times have I said that on a stormy night to my kids? Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. How many times have I had to look in the mirror when I'm facing something hard in my life and say, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. Right? We acknowledge him in all our ways. So the first question I asked was, what makes a difference, right? What makes a difference in your life? It's who you trust. But look at question number two. What difference in your life does it make? See what I did there? A little tricky, huh? So what makes a difference in your life is who you trust, but what difference in your life does it actually make? So you say, yeah, if I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways, what difference does that really make in my life? Well, here's the difference it makes. God will make your path straight. Isn't that cool? God will make your path straight. Now listen, let's not teach heresy here. This doesn't mean that God's going to make your life easy. That's not what it says. If you're interpreting God's going to make your path straight as God's going to make your life easy, you are wrong. Say that with all the love of my heart. You're wrong. You're not interpreting Scripture correctly. God's not going to make your life easy. You already know that. You already know that. He's not going to make your life comfortable. He's going to make your path straight. And ideally what that means is, right, and really theologically what that means is, he's going to make your path straight. What? Straight to him. Straight to him. And what looks like a crooked road to you, what looks like a dead-end road to you, what looks like a difficult road to you, let me tell you something. From his perspective, it's leading straight to him. Do you understand that? It's not leading straight to your success. It's not leading straight to your happiness, so to speak, even though it really is when it leads straight to him. Straight to God is straight to your happiness, trust me. But God will make your path straight. You know what that means? It means he brings comfort because he's in charge. He brings comfort because he's in charge. He's the sovereign God in control over everything. Listen, he brings comfort. He brings rest. Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Right? He'll bring comfort because he's in charge. And on days when you're crying your eyes out because you didn't like the news and you didn't like what was going on, he doesn't take away the hurt necessarily, but he brings comfort in the midst of that and says, I got this. I got this. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. And even though you may not feel like it's better and you may not feel like it's removed, I assure you that Scripture, based upon this promise, says this. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean on our own understandings and acknowledge him in all of our ways. He will make our path straight to him. Straight to him. He brings clarity because he leads you to himself. See, God doesn't always remedy the situation that's terrible in your life. But what he does is, when you trust in him, is that he brings you up out of the fog and gives you a perspective that brings clarity that says this, this is for my good and for your glory. Now again, I'm talking to believers here, right? So if you're not a believer, then this all kind of feels maybe weird to you. And I would just say to you, listen, we want you to trust in Jesus with all your heart because he died on the cross for your sins, and you can repent and turn away from your sins and believe in Jesus, and today you can be saved. That can happen today in your heart. For those of us who are believers, though, he brings clarity because he leads us straight to himself. One commentator said it this way, the paths of life on which the Lord leads us often seem windy and bumpy to us. Yet from God's perspective, which is the only perspective that matters, these paths are straight and smooth, taking us exactly where he wants us. So let me just close this out today by just saying this. What areas of your life right now are requiring trust? Listen, teenagers in the room, what areas in your life right now are requiring trust in God? Is it with parents? Is it with friendships? Is it with your identity? Heading into the summer, is it how you look? What areas are requiring trust for you? Adults, what is it? Is it your marriage? Is it your parenting? Is it because we're heading into summer and you're worried about how you look? Don't lie to me. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. What areas of your life right now are requiring trust? You need to think through that. And I do want to encourage you as individuals and as families to consider looking through the Bible and finding all the verses that talk about trusting in God. And just taking a portion of those, memorizing, reading them, praying them together by yourself this summer, doing that in a very encouraging way. I want to leave you with a verse that's not on the screen. But it's in Romans 15, 13. It's one of my favorite verses. Matter of fact, if I send you a note sometime or write you a card, that verse may be at the very end of the card that I write you. If I close our service with a benediction, sometimes this may be the benediction that I close with because I love it. I'd encourage you to underline it, circle it in your Bible. But it's Romans 15, 13. And it just says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing in him," right? "Believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Let me just read it again. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." There's actually another version that says it this way that kind of fits today's topic. And it says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Listen, that's my prayer for every kid in here today. It's my prayer for all the teenagers. It's my prayer for every adult in here, that the God of hope would fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound, you may overflow, you may be consumed with hope in your life. Fellowship, we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And not lean on our own understanding. But in all our ways, we need to acknowledge him. We need to know him. And he will make our path straight. That's my prayer for you. My prayer for me. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. And we thank you for your love to us. Thank you for this beautiful verse that is so rich and so good for all of us for all the days of our lives. Lord, forgive us for where we're not trusting you. Forgive us where we're leaning on our own understanding. Forgive us where we're not acknowledging you. Lord, remind us that when we trust in you, that you will make our paths straight to you, that you will bring comfort and clarity. And even though we may be about lifted out of the situation, but we are lifted closer to you, and that you will take care of us. So Lord, in some ways we're a little bit afraid to pray this prayer, but give us strength to pray this prayer. Help us to trust in you. Increase our trust in you. Because we know that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And we know that blessed is the one who trusts in you. So Lord, guide us in that. Help us to build our lives on you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.